Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God, who at the Holy Mount revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured in raiment white and glistening, mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty, who with you, O Father, and you, O Holy Spirit, lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Righteousness
A reading from the second letter of Peter. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I believe that I preached on the Transfiguration just this past Lent, did I not? So I'm going to take a slightly different approach in speaking on the Transfiguration today. And that is to focus on the concept, the image of God's light. If you think about it, the very first gift that God gave the world was light. Because after God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, God said, "Let there be light." And think about it. Scientifically, if we didn't have the light of the sun, if we didn't have the sun and its powerful light, we wouldn't be alive. We couldn't survive. We owe our entire existence to the gift of God's gift of light, and scientifically that is the sun. For without the sun, the earth would still be without form and void, and it'd be the deep. But since God gave the light, the sun, to be the power of life, we must also look at the ways that God gave the sun to be the power of light in our lives. And of course, I mean his sun, not our sun, but his Son that came to give us the ultimate light, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Imagery of light is peppered throughout Scripture. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "No one lights a lamp to put it under a bushel." Somewhere in John, it says, "I am the light of the world." And we know that Jesus is therefore the equivalent of the sun scientifically, but spiritually for us in our basic need of light and the power of light. Indeed, when they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus to pray, they get confused because the first thing they see is this dazzling light that Jesus is transfigured before them and shines with the glory that identifies him as the light of God. The powerful light without which we cannot spiritually live. And just as with the sun in the sky, we can't look directly at it without being blinded. It doesn't say so, but I wonder if they could look directly at the transfigured Jesus and not be blinded by his light. In fact, they were blinded by his light because they right away said, "Oh, here's Moses and Elijah. Let's make three booths, three enclosures for the three of you so we can enshrine you forever and not have you be this powerful moving force of light that we're missing somehow." Indeed, you could say that in terms of Judaism, the light that God gave was the law. Because when Moses went up on the mount to get the law, he came down and his face shone with the light, the same light. And that light would empower the people of God to be his people and to follow him throughout their historic journeys. The only problem is the difference between the light of the law and the light of Christ is the law cannot ultimately save us. Paul made that pretty clear in his reflections on the light, because Paul realized that the law can only point us in the direction of shining God's light. The law can't do it for us. We have to participate in it. And guess what, folks? We ain't very good at that. So, when they were about to realize what was going on, a cloud overshadowed them. The darkness enfolded them. The darkness that is the downside of relying just on the law, because as Paul learned and taught, the law just doesn't have any power but to point out our sin and our need for salvation. The law only goes so far. And out of the cloud, out of the darkness, God speaks and says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." This is the ultimate light, the fulfillment of the gift of light I gave in creation, I give to you now in this person, Jesus, the Son. Listen to him. And so we have the exposure of the gift of light in science and the gift of light in spirit and in power. Basically, the other difference between the law as light and Christ as light is that it's hard to have a relationship with law. You can have a relationship with a person, a fellow human being. You can look at the way he did what he did and strive to follow it. And yes, it still takes effort on our parts. But even if we fail, he's there to lift us up. Even when we abandon him in the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane, after 3 days, he rises again to lift us up to ultimate life, ultimate light, ultimate power. One of my favorite stories about light and darkness comes from that other great gospel book, C.S. Lewis's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. When the children are on this voyage to get to the end of the world, to get to the ultimate power of God's presence, and they have to pass by something called the Dark Island. And they see it, and they're so afraid of the darkness that might overtake them and keep them from getting to Aslan's country, God's country, that they try to convince the captain to turn the ship around and pass it by. When one noble prophet among them, a little mouse called Reepicheep, gets up and says, "You can't do this. You have to go in there. We're called to look out and find whatever we can and look for him wherever he may be. So you're cowards if you don't go in there." Okay, so they start rowing because all the wind has died, and they row into this darkness. And as they row further and further into the darkness, it begins to feel like it's a physical thing that is all over them. And then they hear a splashing. They hear a splashing. And they look, and they hear a splashing. It's coming from the water. And sure enough, there's somebody swimming up, and he says, "Flee, flee." And they take him up, and he's a withered man. And he says, "Flee, flee, for this is the island where dreams come true." And Reepicheep says, "Then we must go and have our dreams come true." And they say, "What do you mean, dreams come true?" He says, "Not your daydreams, not your fantasies, not your hopes, but your dreams. Those things that haunt you in the dark of night, where dreams come true. Flee, flee." And with that, they scuttle and turn the ship around and start rowing and rowing to get out of this darkness as quickly as they can, because they know they are powerless against ultimate evil. And it seems like 6 times as long that they row trying to get out of this darkness than it took them to get into it. And all of a sudden, Lucy, one of the children, sees up ahead a tiny speck of light. And she points and says, "There, follow the light." And as they row, it begins to grow a little bigger. It gets bigger. It gets bigger until finally they pull themselves out of the darkness to come into the full light of the gift that God gives them. And out of that sunlight, a shadowy figure flies down and whispers to Lucy, "Courage, dear heart." And she knows that they have chosen the right thing to do. And as they continue to row, and they get to the next island, they find that there's a table there. And at the table, there are people asleep with cobwebs over them. And someone comes and says, "It's okay to eat this food that is there on the table. It will not poison you like it appears to have poisoned these men. It is safe." So with that, they go and send someone back to the ship to bring this lost man to come, and he gets to the table and immediately falls asleep, asleep without dreams, the sleep that in God is the power of God's ultimate presence. Yes, the transfiguration is the second gift of light that God gives to all of us, his followers. It is the ultimate gift, not a gift that will eventually go out, as will our sun, but a light that will shine in the darkness. And as John says in his prologue to his gospel, the light will enter the darkness, but the darkness will not overcome it. And so we are bidden to establish a relationship with this gift of light that is Jesus, transfigured before his followers. So we are bidden to enter into a relationship with him by which we can live and move and have our being, that we can learn, that we can fail and be forgiven, as long as we say, "Jesus, you are my light. You are the ultimate gift that darkness can never overcome." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand as you are able, and let us affirm our faith by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world, offering either aloud or in the silence of our hearts what we are bidden to pray for in each asking.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church.
Pray for our sister church, St. Albans.
I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace.
Pray for the ceasing of war in the Ukraine.
I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of Him. Pray that they may find and be found by Him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for Ava, Belinda and Cindy, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Julianne, Kelly, Debbie, Randy, Peggy, Sharon, Mark, and Judy. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you." Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. faces out there. Announcements, announcements, announcements. I don't know what to announce. So does someone else have an idea?
We had a good showing yesterday at the food pantry. And we'd asked the volunteers, and nobody but me had signed up. So I asked Gretchen, and she came and said she would bring Zachary. The week before, we had three volunteers, myself, Robert, and Simon. And so, with one of the volunteers needing assistance from another volunteer, we were a little slow at times. And people would say, well, you need any help? And I said, yes, we could use some help, and got some names and numbers. But knowing we were going to have three this week, I wasn't too worried about it. I got here early, got a few bags together. Nobody else has showed up. Except we had patrons show up. Gretchen came, and not only did she have Zachary, she also had Gabby and Gracie. So now we went from three volunteers to five volunteers. But before Gretchen got there, we had a young lady named Daphne who had said she'd volunteer. I hadn't called her because I knew I was going to have three, and I was saving her for next week. But she walked up just as we were needing to ran out of bags and packing more bags for those who were waiting. And so we had an overload of volunteers yesterday. Daphne said she'd be back next week, but the sign-ups were pretty empty because I got it up late. So if you would like to volunteer, please sign up. And I think I've got some other volunteers I can call if I need to know and call them and get them there. So that's coming to in the place. Thank you.
Great. Yeah.
I thought they were having a party out there. And don't forget, we have still have to sign for flowers. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Let your light so shine before humankind that they may see your good gifts and acknowledge them in following Christ.
When I see the sun in the morning, on the flowers fresh with dew,
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you've caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Thaddeus, blessed Peter, blessed James, and blessed John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's our story.
What's that?
Nice job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.